WBAI-TY, Unity, Unity. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Michael G. Haskins here. Pam Brown, good morning once again, Pam.
Good morning, Michael.
All right, and as usual, it's that time of the week. It's been quite wonderful lately. So I know Milton Alamati, the publisher and editor-in-chief of the Black Star News, blackstarnews.com, you must be, you know, moderately happy. I know I say that because I know, Milton, you're always troubled by the problems going on in the world, but moderately happy. Is that right, Milton?
Yes, indeed. Good morning to both you and Pam.
Good morning, Milton.
I'm happy, but then we were still analyzing Ferguson. Mm. We weren't even done with that yet, and now we got us North Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely, right away. Okay, so Milton, let's start right there. There was a lot going on this weekend, the big reparations conference, which WBAI co-sponsored. BlackStarNews.com had a few editorials on it, and I saw you there, Milton. We saw each other at one of the sessions.
Right.
I think the first few words, you know, after we acknowledged each other was, you know, what actually happened, the video that we saw in Charleston. And the video speaks for itself. Michael Slager fires 8 times from behind while Walter Scott flees. He's hit 5 times. What comments would you like to add to what the whole world saw, Milton?
Well, I would like to also say that the whole world got to see this time what we did not get to see in Ferguson, because nobody happened to be standing there holding their phone video running when the incident when Darren Wilson and shot Michael Brown, worse than a wild pit bull. Had it not been for that, we would be having a very different conversation. Because as I've said before on this show, the police, when an incident like that happens, any police department, I've noticed now in this country, their number one job is spin and create a lie. Mm. And then it disseminates that as the official story to the media. In Ferguson, Michael Brown ended up being a cigar thief. And that was enough for the New York Times to do an article on August 24 saying, yes, indeed, he wasn't an angel. And wow, he even smoked pot. In New York City, Eric Garner became the obese seller of Lucy's. The first article, July 17, 24, the chokehold. It stressed on his weight as if that's the reason why he had died. And that article was fed directly from the police department. Now, in North Charleston, absent this video, the story would be this deadbeat dad. Doesn't want to pay child support. Yeah,
absolutely.
He ran off, forced the police officer, the thug, rather, to chase him behind the building, and then he beat up the police officer behind the building, took his taser away, and the police officer was fearful for his life, so therefore ended up shooting Scott. That would have been the story. And then you notice, even now, most of the articles still mention that whole child support thing. And what are they trying to do? They know that this is looks very bad for Slager right now. But they're introducing that the cigar thing in Ferguson. This is the version they're trying to do in North Charleston.
Well, I think that the aspect of the child support is a key issue. And in a sense, Milton, I'm actually glad that that keeps coming up, because it's an opportunity for people to have a deeper understanding of what exactly was happening. Why would somebody run because they owed this child support payment? And the reason that they would run is because they are trying to avoid having to go to jail and increase those fines or lose a job or, you know, miss work, however you want to cut it, the system makes it much worse, right? If you are someone who's at the mercy of the system in this exact way that has been revealed as a key aspect of the economic system in Ferguson, right? So we're seeing, again, revealed in South Carolina, this ticketing and this placing people into debt who simply are not able to pay, right? For what reason? To then criminalize them and extract labor and finances and resources and oppress in these other very powerful ways.
Okay, now, it's very interesting, Pam, that you brought that up, because last night in Guerrilla Journalism, we had this discussion in class, and one of the members took that same position which you just said right now, and I agreed with it, but then I said, that should actually probably be dealt with as a separate story. And I'll tell you why. I think in a place like North Charleston, this is potentially what a crazed juror, all they need is something like this. For them to say, they're going to end up saying that, why was he running away anyway? And he almost like forced Slager to shoot him. Mm. And that's the issue they're going to press. And they just need a couple of crazed jurors to potentially make this guy walk. And that's the danger of that aspect. And we had this same discussion in class online, because I noticed
and
that.
And I absolutely agree with that, too. I think, though, that, so this is the complexity, because on the one hand, we have people who do not see other people as human, and
exactly.
have been trained not to understand other people as human, so can
right.
they really relate to the problem that he was faced with, right?
That's right.
The decision that he had to make in that moment, and the answer is that it works backwards, right? It doesn't work in the forward direction. In other words,
exactly.
people look to justify their belief that Walter Scott does not deserve to be understood as fully human or
exactly.
in a separate kind of human category,
that's
then they
right.
go backwards into, well, he shouldn't have been doing X, Y, or Z, or why did
right.
he have the cigars, or, you know, the cigarettes in the case of Eric Garner, which, by the way, I keep mentioning never, ever even turned up, right?
Right,
so,
right.
So it works. So you're right, because the logic in the case of these, you know, jurors, typically white jurors,
exactly.
who make these decisions, who have the power to make the decisions, works backwards. That's the real crux of the problem.
Completely warped.
What was that?
Completely warped reasoning. It's a completely warped reasoning.
Completely. So I don't
know. That's exactly what happened in Ferguson as well. I mean, they actually bought that preposterous argument that this officer sitting with a gun facing an unarmed child, a teenager,
right.
Michael Brown, was somehow fearful for his life.
Yeah,
or, as the officer put it, because he appeared to be demonic. And that was enough for him. And also, I noticed another thing that they're leaving out of the stories now. In all the earlier articles, they reported that, yes, this city of 104,000 is 47% African-American. 37% white, the police department, 80% white. If you go back, you notice that this appeared in some of the earlier articles. But now, in the most recent articles, they mention the population, they mention the fact that there's 47% African-American, they no longer mention the fact that it's 37% white, and they no longer mention the fact that the police department is 80% white. The distortion is even worse than we had in Ferguson. Now, what I want to see is the incidence of these ticket writings as well. I want to see the same kind of analysis that we had Ferguson, and this is obviously begging for a similar type of investigation that we saw in Ferguson.
Sure, absolutely. 20 minutes past the hour. of 7 o'clock. Milton Alamadi is our guest this morning, Michael G. Haskins and Pam Brown. Before I move on, Pam, did you have anything else that you
wanted to speak? Well, I just wanted to share with listeners that there's an article on the MarshallProject.org, entitled, Why Was Walter Scott Running? And one of the things that they disclose in this article is that in South Carolina, at least 1 in 8 people are in jail on contempt of court charges related to late or unpaid child support orders.
Uh-huh.
And the best available data suggests that the majority of these jailed parents are black fathers.
Mm,
so there's nationally about 50,000 people in jail on this, and it's not clear what contempt of court exactly means, but that's typically what we're looking at. Mm. So it's mostly, there's many, many parents who are not paying child support for many different reasons, right, that they're court ordered to pay. But in South Carolina, we have 1 in 8 people in jail related to this, and the majority being black. So that's in and of itself, statistically, seems to my mind a problem.
Yes, it's ugly.
Mm, it is. It's very, very ugly indeed.
Let me just add one other thing very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The callousness and the depravity of this officer's thug, rather, you know, I keep still slipping. I'm going to really train myself not to see people that commit these kind of crimes as police officers, because they're not. But there's a now a story in The Guardian, and I don't know if both of you saw it either, where he's actually heard laughing while he's speaking to one of his commanders.
Mm.
We would tell them, you know, you go home first. We probably won't interview you for a couple of days. We'll take your gun away. You know, we want the adrenaline to come down first, because I imagine it's very high right now. And he chuckled and says, yes, it is indeed very high. And he's laughing very callously, and he's speaking from the scene where he just killed this innocent man. It's on
but
the
he
Guardian,
wasn't a man. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
He really didn't kill, in his thinking, a man.
Mm.
Right?
Exactly, right.
He killed something like killing, you know, a deer. It's kind of how
I wonder even if you would laugh at killing a deer like that. You know, but it's on the Guardian's website.
It's like a trophy. And that's the problem that we're dealing with right now in our society. That really
it's a national crisis, Pat.
It is.
It's completely a crisis. And, I mean, I hate to make this scary prediction, but I think that it's not only going to get worse, but we're going to see people who are less legitimized in the sense of having a badge starting to make these moves more and more often.
Absolutely. But they're also inviting retaliation.
That's going to be the natural progression. It is certainly going to be that.
No people can accept being killed like a wild pit bull perpetually.
Yeah. You know, Milton, you think you've seen the worst. Another one just keeps popping up to top the previous one. You know, as you suggest, the execution of Walter Scott seems like the worst so far, because it's the one captured on video. Needless
That's
to say, you know, you believe, on, as we all do, all police officers should wear body cameras. Do you, Milton?
Of course. I mean, it should be mandatory. And voters, I think, at least as black folks, that should become an issue with any and every candidate in elections. Ask them their position on body cameras. Here in New York City, we should make it mandatory. There's no way.
Although, I don't know, Milton. I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm not really sure.
I'm not saying it's a perfect time, but I think it's much better to get the recording. If they don't destroy it, it's better to have it than not to have it. I'm not saying it's the ultimate solution.
I know you're not saying that it's the total solution. I know that. But the concern that I have is about surveillance as well. Because once you start to put all of these cameras on police, you know, all of a sudden you get into different issues around surveillance. We're already heavily surveilled, and it's not really clear oftentimes whether, you know, the police officer is typically in control of when the camera's on, when the camera's off, all of those little important details to this. So I'm not sure that the solution here is body cameras, especially when oftentimes we have video, and nevertheless, an argument is still made and will still be made, oh, we had to kill him because of X, Y, or Z, oftentimes seen off camera, which is still, you know, used to get these guys off. So I'm not 100% sure on this body camera issue.
Well, I think
I would prefer a little more. I would probably be a little more comfortable. Especially, I think these guys going into African-American neighborhoods, I think it's better to see what happens there and maybe to suppress any other information that's not connected to the incident itself.
I think that is definitely a debate that we have to have in our community. And again, nationally, it very well may be a part of this election season coming up. I wouldn't be surprised. Moving on, Milton, I don't want to run out of time. You know, while the video of Scott's execution, you know, is as clear as it gets, isn't it true that, you know, when we're dealing with the murder of a black man by a white cop, that nothing is a slam dunk? Conviction,
absolutely.
Conviction
absolutely.
Is not guaranteed.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because as I said, for example, I know they're going to stress on the fact that he was running away. And that's exactly, I can anticipate what his lawyer is going to say already. You know, he was running away. The officer thought his life was still in danger. And he was still reacting based on that physical interaction they had. So he'll try to paint that as a continuation of that particular physical struggle they had. Just as they did with Darren Wilson in Ferguson, made it a continuation of the incident that happened while he was still inside the car.
Mm.
In other words, he got
exactly.
out, he was able to get out and run after him and shoot him unarmed in cold blood to death, but as if it was just a continuation of the physical interaction they initially had. And that's the same argument they're going to try to use here. So nothing
exactly.
is a slam dunk.